Good to see you all here today. And wanted to mention that the sources that I use for this series is on this sheet of paper, and I'm going to post it, okay? Because, frankly, I haven't had an original thought in a long time. I just want you to know that. I learned by reading, like you all, right? We started last week, for those of you, how many of you were not here last week, just so I get a flavor? So quite a few. Well, we're not going to go over last week. But we started our series, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. And I just want to say that we're going to learn a lot. If we get through with this, it's a long introduction. I'm in my second week of my introduction. I got a feeling. By the way, I would like to have to 4 minutes after today. Is that all right, Mike? Four. Now, if you've got to walk out, go ahead. But just give me to four after. And I think I can do some things. But if we don't get it all accomplished, we do have next week. Who would like to share something they haven't had a chance to share? Something spiritual in your life. You just want to share. Anything you want to share briefly? Anybody? Go ahead.
Just wanted to say that, you know, this trial that Joyce and I have been going through.
Yes.
Really, you know, brought us closer to Christ. Spending more time focusing on the right things. So, and just an example of, you know, trials should do that to us.
Yeah.
In order to become closer to Christ.
Amen.
That's been the case for us.
Good.
But it's very difficult.
Yes. Heartbreaking. Anybody else? The New York Times bestsellers list last week, number one book in all the New York Times was Dude Perfect. Now, I have six grandchildren, three boys, and I know all about Dude Perfect. It's really cool. But I want you to say, this was on the number one. As you open up the book, It's a YouTube thing. It's a lot of fun. You know, as you open up the book, they give all praise to the Lord. All praise. And even in there, when you watch them, they talk about the Lord Jesus. And then when you go back here to acknowledgments, I love this. Here they list their acknowledgments. Let me read you the first acknowledgment. Number one, Jesus, thank you for saving us. You are where our true hope and joy is found. We'd trade it all for you in an instant. That said, thank you for the opportunity for Dude Perfect. Isn't that cool? Do you know that some weeks, I'm not exaggerating, there are 145 million people who watch their YouTube. It's unbelievable. So I got these, and I told them, I got to borrow this today. Oh, yeah, before I forget, somebody left at my house yesterday. Left this? There she is, Becky. You know, she's a teacher. She's probably got a master's degree. In this stuff. You know, I told him. We have no idea who the shoes are. And 3 weeks later, we get a phone call. Hey, did I leave my shoes at your house? I've literally had that happen. What I've just never understood, but I'll let you get away with that, Becky. Bear with me. These are my introductory things. I'm skipping some of this. Online, there are on the first page, and I want to during the class, and I want you to be open to please share. Last week we had one dear lady, precious, precious thing. It can be a little tiny thing about suffering and so on. I want that. That is a vital part of teaching, okay? Very, very important. Just a second here. All right. I am now on the outline just after the C.S. Lewis quote. I want to quote that one more time, and then I want to go on. C.S. Lewis says, I always knew in principle that Jesus is all you need to get through. Well, I knew that. I knew it. But you don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Amen? And I tell you, when you're at that point in your life, you're trusting. If you're real for Christ, you're going to be trusting. Are you ever? So that's a tremendous quote. All right, let's. The incredible truth is that the Bible teaches the reality of teaching, of suffering. It is one of the main themes of the Bible. There is just an immense amount of information about this subject. And towering over all this incredible truth, that the towering figure over all history and all scriptures is our lovely one, Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the inscription, the subtitle of his name? A man of sorrows. That's who we follow. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief and suffering. Okay? Suffering makes God appear to be absent. But he is not, as we're going to find out. Okay? I want to go back to Psalm 34. Not that. I want to go down to verse 18. Go to Psalm 34. And I want to go to verse 18 and 19. Okay? I want to read this. Psalm 34, 18 and 19. I'm reading the New International Version because I have this huge, large, and I am losing my eyesight, just so you all know that. Slowly, but it's going. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Amen?
That's right.
Wow. That is a significant verse about this subject. Let me tell you something. This, to me, is an incredible scripture that says it all. Okay? This is true no matter what you're going through in your life. I'm telling you, and you'll win because you're on the Lord's side. There's going to be tough days sometimes. We're not going to fool anybody. It's going to be that way. But we have a Savior who helps us overcome all these things. Suffering will refine rather than destroy us. It will. I want to read Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. Forgive me. Let's go to Isaiah. I would say in the past 8 months, without question, I have shared this group of verses with at least 22 people in my life through texting, through reading, through a card, and so on. At least 22 times I believe I did it. Okay, you all say, well, how does he know it's 22? Well, I just went through my mind and started counting. Okay? Look at this verse. This is stuff I share all the time. Bobby Johnson was in the middle of Africa. His family was there. Things were looking pretty grim. I sent him this scripture. This is the scripture I sent him. Powerful. Look at it. 43 verses 1 through 3a. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God. You ought to put that on your refrigerator or wherever you put things on, your forehead, somewhere. That is a powerful scripture.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
Good stuff.
Good stuff. This is it here. This is it. I'm telling you. This is the life we lead. He's in charge. And God is present in all the circumstances of your life. No matter what you're going through, he's there. Especially in the worst of times. How about a personal testimony? Using that sentence. Come on, I need one. Keep it to 2 minutes. Dr. David, tell us.
approximately 30 years ago, my life was really messed up. Actually, a little more than that, 34, 35, whatever. And this verse brought me a lot of comfort.
Wow.
Gave me a lot of peace.
Yes.
And I remember it.
Praise God. Yeah. It's powerful.
And that's when I got saved. It was right at that
time. Right at that time, yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. I want to go perhaps the most moving story in the Bible concerning suffering for a few minutes. I want to go to a furnace of fire example, okay? And I don't want us to turn to it necessarily, but the book of Daniel, chapter 4, okay? Daniel, to me, is one of the most wonderful men of God in all of human history. When I taught the Bicota class, they assigned me Daniel, I don't know, 6 years ago or whatever it was. I spent 9 months teaching Daniel. Honestly, it changed my life. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. One of the greatest men that ever lived, obviously not the God-man, Jesus Christ, number one always. But for me, and you might have an idea, Paul, the Apostle Paul to me, okay? Moses, wow, what a man. Billy Graham, oh, some days I say, Lord, I wish Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell were here right now. I really do. I wish they were in the national scene. Oh, by the way, I want to show you something. This has nothing to do with the class. I was going to do this at the beginning. I was in Russia for 21 days on a preaching tour, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago. And anyway, when it was communism in the first degree, it was an awful thing. It's awful now, too, but it was there. I believe in free. This has nothing to do with what we're teaching. I'm sorry, you're going to say, why is he doing this? Give me one, two. Okay? When you were in this building, this building right here, you could talk about God and Jesus and all your other nonsense. This is the way they would talk. But when you came to the steps and stepped off, you're now in society. There is no God, and you're not allowed to share anything. Huh? This is where our country's going. It's awful. And we've got to stand up and be counted. Amen? Okay, I'm done with that. One of the most Christians that ever lived was David Livingston. Oh, I love David Livingston. But anyway, in this book of Daniel, there are faithful men. Who are they? Give me their names.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
All right. And they got thrown into a furnace to kill them. Okay? But a mysterious figure appeared beside them that day. The astonished observers, they looked in and they said, there's not three in this furnace. There's four.
And it's real shiny.
And it's real shiny. Well, I want to tell you something. You know who the fourth one was?
Christ.
Jesus was in that furnace. Check it out. That day. He manifested himself when he was needed the most. Okay? Jesus was in the furnace waiting for the three to come in. Okay? And then there were four. And then they came out. And then there was one. Okay? I want to read 27, Daniel, verse 20. You don't need to turn to it. Let me just read this because we'll move on. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched in any way. Okay? And there was no smell of fire on them. Now, how do you like that for America?
That's cool.
Huh? You like that one?
I'll go listen to a preacher that can do this kind of thing any day of the week. Believe me. That is a remarkable story of God in the midst of tremendous tragedy possibilities being there himself to take care of you. Any thoughts on that? He is truly with us, folks. He is truly with us. Unfortunately, today, by the way, in my studies of this whole thing, I read dozens of pages about this whole issue, okay, about our modern Western society and what's happened to it. We live in the modern Western world in which all around us are people who believe that the material world is all that they and they're caught up with secularism, intellectualism, and scientificism, if there is such a word. They are. They're super caught up with that. They're also caught up with the death of Satan. Okay? They don't believe there's any such thing as Satan. They've totally gotten rid of that whole concept. And we live in the midst of this, and we Christians can sometimes be right there with. And that is sad if we allow this to happen in our lives. Go ahead, Trace.
As you're talking about this, as Christians or people that claim to be a follower of Christ, you know, they'll often think, well, that God doesn't do that today.
Right.
God doesn't stand in the fire furnace with you today.
Yeah.
Christ or whatever. And it's like, you know what? They put him in a box.
Yeah.
And they think he can only do this.
Yeah.
And sadly, they limit him.
Yes, absolutely. Any other thoughts? We live in this world. Okay? Do you know that in the United States, the Christian community is rather large? Okay? But boy, go to some of these other countries, there's nothing going on. It's unbelievable. And we see it starting to come here. Now, I want to talk about the victory of Christianity. These are introductory remarks. You just got to follow with me with that outline. We have a greater hope, folks. We've got a greater hope. You know? I don't know about you, but last night I was tired. By the way, I went to bed at 9:35 yesterday. Yeah, I told Pam, I'm not going to clean up the backyard. And by the way, many of you did. And that worked. I said, I'm not going to clean up the backyard. When I come home from church tomorrow, I'm going to have lunch with you, and then I'll clean up the yard. And normally she'll say, no, Barry, we got to get this thing cleaned up. And she said, yeah, I think you ought to go to bed. I said, I need to go spend a few minutes. Anyway, I'm laying there, and I'm thinking literally about the great hope in Christ. Really. I'm thinking about how good the Lord has been to me. I was thinking about you folks. I thought, oh, my goodness. There's no people I would rather be with today than the Christian community. There's nothing like it. I never heard the F word. I never heard the GT word, Dave. I never heard the JC. I heard God. You know what I mean? It was wonderful. And I just lay there and was blessed as I fell asleep thinking about the victory I have and the hope I have in Christ. I went to Cuba. What year? I don't know when. I would say, anyway, 12 or 15 years ago, on behalf of this church, I went to Cuba for 21 days, and I preached and testified in many churches. I remember one Sunday, I preached before 800 people. That was a pretty neat event. But I want to tell you something, a greater hope. I saw in Cuba, I never went to Havana. I was in the southern, Bayana. What's that famous fort on the west side? I can't think of it. No, I could see Guantanamo from the city I stood on. Anyway, Havana, we were in the southern end. I met hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians. I'm not kidding you. In Cuba. The work of the Lord was phenomenal, what's going on there. I saw joy. I saw people who were poorer than poor, but not destitute. They were rejoicing. They were rejoicing in things of God. Right, brother? Richter, you've been there. Didn't you find that to be the case? Wasn't it life-changing? You know, it was life-changing. These people had the great joy, the victory they had in Christ. It was wonderful. Yeah. A surgeon makes $100 a month, I think it is. That's it. I mean, it's an awful system. Just awful. But people are getting saved. At least when I was there, people were getting saved. I didn't do an altar call. At least 8 people came forward for Christ. I didn't even know they were going to do it. It was wonderful. Yes, the victory of Christianity. What a blessing we have. What a great hope we have. Let's go to John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. This, to me, is an electrifying claim. Look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Logos. Let's talk a little bit about Logos. The Logos behind the universe was not an abstract rational principle like all my neighbors think, you know? Oh, no. Logos is the Jesus Christ who can be loved, who can be known in a personal relationship by anyone who repents and believes that he is the Son of God and saved us from our sins. Okay? It is a personal, it is an extraordinary individual that we trust in. This is an unfathomable shift that changed the world when Jesus came into this world. Unfathomable. I have a book, and I'll bring it in if anybody wants to read it, The History of Christianity for the First 300 Years. I'll tell you, it's written by an agnostic, but boy, a graduate of Moody Bible College who became an agnostic. Shame on him. But it is well documented. And he shows, how did this happen? How did this happen that this little tiny cult, he called them, cult group, turned the world upside down? And he describes what happens in those first 300 years. It's unbelievable what took place. When Jesus came on the scene, a shift changed that has changed the world ever since. Okay? I want to mention tears and crying. Okay? You know, I'm Scottish. I don't know. I think I'm Irish. I don't know what I am. I'm from those islands. And I tend to tear up a lot. In fact, sometimes I just hate tearing up. But I just tend to tear up a bit. Okay? But tears and crying are natural and they're acceptable.
That's right.
We don't have to be crying in despair. But it's wonderful to cry unto God and ask for His help. Okay? I mean that. I just show you this little truth. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4. What time is it? Okay. Well, I've got another 30 minutes. Look at this. This is concerning his again coming to get us. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I just want to look at one little word, 4:13. You ready? Let's see here. Brothers, I'm reading out of New International. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We want you to cry. We want you to have tears. But we don't want you to despair. We have no hope. Our lives are bathed in hope.
That's right.
We believe in things that have not occurred yet, so powerfully, it's as if they've already occurred.
Right.
That's it. That's how we live. I am so convinced of the coming again of Jesus Christ, as described in the Bible, it's as if it already happened in my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's how much we believe it. Okay? When I tell people about Christ and the coming again, they look at me like I'm a crazy man. My neighbor did this week. He thinks I'm crazy.
Praise God.
Amen. I am crazy. Crazy for him.
That's right.
How about another testimony? Come on. Even brief. Go ahead, sister.
21 years ago, I went.
And your husband was a pastor of a church. Wow. And he walked out on you. What do you think? Tracy?
Just real quick, and as God would have it, the Lord brought a woman in our Bible study. She's in our Bible study on Monday nights here, and Tammy is too, and Tammy brought a friend named Pam. And we were having a celebration, and Pam, help me get this right, Pam had gone through a terrible divorce as well, and had someone coming, staying at her house with her kids, doing the same kind of thing because she's a nurse. And because of that, someone mentioned to Jane that this person, you know, had this happen. You might want to consider doing that. Oh, her sister, that's right. They knew. Right, her sister was in the go-between. The point is, the Lord brought them full circle 3 weeks ago, that was God's provision. The Lord used Pam's circumstance through her sister, and then the Lord introduced Pam and Jane.
Wow.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
Just remarkable.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Because I always thought, you know, I've got young children.
Yes. How many you got? Two?
Two girls.
Yeah. Grown up.
I was like, I can't work night shift.
Right. No. Yeah.
You can't just walk into a hospital and get a day shift position.
Yeah. Wow.
I had heard about, you know, another nurse doing this, and I was like, maybe if she did it, maybe I could do it.
Yeah. Wow. Last weekend, we had a group over on 4th of July, and the pastor for Cross Point Church here was there with his family. But anyway, there's a guy that sits by. I sit on the right side of church, way on the right side with my family. I really would like to sit in the middle. The music's a lot better in the middle. It is. But here, so I sit over here with them, and it's good. I like to be with them because I get to give them this Dude Perfect book this morning. But anyway, Tim, who's the guy? He's about 6'8". Tim something. Tim, last name. Huh? No, Tim. Anyway, Tim's been going to our church for years. He's been divorced for 13 years. He's a godly man. I know him well. He's been in my house many, many times. Guess what? 2 weeks ago, he got remarried to his wife, 13 years divorced, at Cross Point. They're going to Cross Point because that's where she went. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
Sister, you know, amazing. Who would ever... It can. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, I want to mention the doctrine of the resurrection changed everything. This is the one that did it all, folks. We've got all these religions. This is the one that did it all and changed your heart and changed mine. Amen? I mean, this is the one we just hang on and hang on and hang on. Carefully documented in Scripture. It is remarkable teaching. Christianity offers a restoration of life. We get our bodies back. We get our bodies back. We don't get these old bodies. We get a glorified body. We're going to get it. And I believe in heaven, we're going to know each other. What do you think? We're going to know each other. And it's going to be a great family reunion. It's going to be a great time. Christianity offers a restoration of love. Okay? Because we had turned from God. It was understandable that our world would be dark. It would be broken. Okay? And since it was under the judgment of a just God, it was awful. And so earthquakes occur. Invasions occur. COVID came. And these are occasions for public calls for widespread prayer and repentance. I haven't seen much repentance. I've been watching closely. I haven't seen much repentance with COVID. Why? Why have you not heard much of masses of people coming to Christ as a result of COVID? I'm surprised. But when I went on, and I want to hear your thoughts. When I went to Washington, D.C. in the month of September to do the prayer march with Franklin Graham, and someday I want to tell you that story. What a story that was. I met a guy there who preached, Greg something. He's a national preacher out of California, and I can't think of his last name.
Laurie.
I talked to him, and he said, "Oh no, Barry. And he says, as best as we can tell, at least 10,000, this was in September, from March until September, at least 10,000 people have come to Christ. I called my second best friend, who's a very, very, very pastor in New Jersey, Bob Billings. I said, "Who is this guy?" Here's what he tells me. Barry, tell him about the 10,000. Barry, he's a very reliable brother. He said, "He is a very reliable brother." So I was thrilled. God is at work.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he was exaggerating.
He's always at work.
You know? Let's pray. Next week, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done. And we'll pick it up next week. Encourage us as we go our way to this worship time. In Jesus' name, amen.